Open the House Committee on Judiciary. Today is March 23rd, 2011. We're going to go out of order a little bit today. First item on the agenda we're going to go down to is a work session on House Bill 2714. Open a work session.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2714 comes to you from Representative Tomei. That creates the crime of patronizing a prostitute if the person pays or offers to pay a fee to another in order to engage in sex act. Classifies the crime as a Class A misdemeanor. Sets a fine of $20,000 if the person who offered the fee was under 18. Chair, members of the committee, you have the dash two amendments, which say for the first offense, mandatory fine of $10,000, second offense, fine $20,000, third, subsequent offense, $20,000, and at least 30 days in jail. Chair, members of the committee, the court has the ability to lower this fine based on the economic circumstances of the defendant.
Okay, thank you. So we
minimal fiscal, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 2714.
Representative Tomei moves the dash twos into House Bill 2714. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2714 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Tomei moves House Bill 2714 to the floor, as amended, to the floor with the due pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Let's move along. Thank you.
Call the roll.
Representative Nolan.
Excuse.
Representative Olson.
Excuse.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Excuse.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks. Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries, and Representative Tomei, please carry it, of course.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs, and thank you, committee.
I'm going to reopen House Bill 2714 work session for a moment. Representative Olson, this is the prostitution bill, and we just vote on it. I'd like to have you, if you'd like to vote on it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Olson Rhodes, yes. Close the work session on House Bill 2714. Open a work session on House Bill 3162.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3162 comes to you from the House Judiciary Committee. Prohibits a court from changing child custody, visitation, parenting, or support order if the parent is one parent is a deployed parent. Chair, members of the committee, you've already adopted the dash one amendments at the last meeting. This bill basically is in step with the Service Member Civil Relief Act.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3162 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hicks moves House Bill 3162 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Excused.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Excused.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye.
Motion carried. I carry that one. Okay, Representative Hicks will be our carrier on that one. Thank you. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2077.
Chairs and members of the committee, House Bill 2077 allows the Department of State Police to enter into real property transactions necessary for specialized services, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage.
Okay, Ramona Rodemaker, please.
Co-Chairs Barker, Krieger, members of the committee. My name is Ramona Rodemaker. I'm the Director of Administrative Services for the Oregon State Police. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2077. This legislative concept was submitted by the department in order to achieve two objectives. The first would be to allow the department to enter into real property agreements and to own specialized facilities. Those facilities would include our forensics laboratories, our state medical examiner facilities, and also our dispatch centers. The second thing that this bill would allow the department to do is have general rulemaking authority. Currently, OSP does not possess the legal authority to own real property. This makes the process of planning for new laboratory, dispatch centers, and medical examiner facilities more cumbersome and expensive for the agency. Because these disciplines are highly specialized, we need to comply with some facility standards in order to meet our national accreditation and certification requirements. This means that our staff, specifically our program staff, so our forensics laboratory directors, our dispatch center managers, and medical examiners, our deputies, need to oversee and provide this on-site management for when these facilities are being built, basically from beginning to end. What this results in is that we end up providing this this oversight ourselves, but also then paying for project management and other service fees that end up being duplicative efforts and expenses. We would also gain some additional efficiencies from this bill. We would be able to apply for and potentially receive some additional grant funding for facilities. We'd be able to put aside funds in order to pay for maintenance of some of these facilities, which we're not able to do unless we own them. And we'd also have the opportunity to potentially enter into some co-ownership agreements with other local government entities in order to achieve economies of scale. We don't have any specialty buildings in the planning stage right now, and so there's nothing planned this biennium or, frankly, even next biennium. This is really just an attempt to be able to add some flexibility to the department. Thus, there's no fiscal impact on this bill right now. We just want to be able to pursue ownership or co-ownership in the future. The other thing this bill does is to give the department some general rulemaking authority. Currently, we only have a few programs within the department that have some specific rulemaking authority. They're the Sex Offender Registration Unit, Amber Alert, and there's a little bit within the Identification Services Division. So basically, when the laws or circumstances change, we are unable to write rules in order to give guidance to either the public or our partners about how things have changed, and ultimately it creates this time lag where we often need to come back to the next legislature and make the changes in order to abide by what's been going on. This general rulemaking authority really, again, it's not an attempt to fix any specific problem. It's, again, an attempt to get some flexibility so we can provide more timely guidance to other agencies and the public. We've conferred with the Department of Administrative Services about this bill. We believe that they're supportive and appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Representative Krieger.
Does the department charge other agencies for the forensic work that they do?
Co-Chair Barker, Krieger, other members of the committee, no, we do not.
In giving you the authority to adopt rules and procedures and so on, would that allow you to change, to set fees for different things?
Co-Chair Barker, members of the committee, while it's potentially one of the things we can do, that's not the intent that we have with this bill. When we are trying to do that, we usually try and do that through a specific rulemaking kind of guidance. And in fact, we have another bill right now that is for our Identification Services Unit, which it's Senate Bill 70, and that one specifically calls out the ability to provide a fee schedule and to put that into administrative rule. And so I believe the fees are generally in specific statutes.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Yeah, thank you. I'm confident the good people at the department will make wise decisions. But I just got to tell you, in my experience, it seems like the more rule-granting authority I give as a legislator, the more I get bit in the backside, and I don't need to go into natural resources here, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. And giving up our legislative oversight, how will we play into this? And who is going to be watching over the watchers and the rulemakers? And I'm leery, I'll be quite frank. I'm tempted to vote no on this bill, not because I don't trust the state police. It's because of my experience of granting rulemaking authority to other agencies in this state and just watch them run roughshod over the people that they're supposed to be helping. So I just kind of try and calm my nerves here, if you would.
Co-chairs Barker, Krieger, Representative Schauffler. Basically, what happens in our experience is that, again, the laws change or the circumstances change, and we end up with a really outdated statute that no longer makes sense. In fact, we have also submitted a total rewrite of ORS 181 just because the statutes that govern what we do were so out of date that they no longer even made sense. And so this is not an attempt for us to again do anything specific other than be able to provide that guidance to the public and others. We're just trying to be able to respond in a timely manner.
If the statutes are out of date, though, and I'm not trying to beat you up here. I hope you don't take it that way. If the statutes are out of date and don't work, I mean, you're going to make a rule that lets you go forward to deal with outdated statutes? It just still isn't clear to me what we're doing here. I'm sorry. If my colleagues who are police officers and work for the department want to help me, I'd be happy to listen.
Mr. Chair, I can't recall back when it came into being about the department didn't have any rulemaking authority. They would have to wait every year till we convened.
Every 2 years.
Yeah, every 2 years for them to be able to implement something that we told them to do or ask them to do, or circumstances changed. This is going to give them the authority to do that for some specified things. There is some concern about what that could be. It's very open and unlimited as to what they can do. The dash twos I was concerned about because, background checks, for instance, on concealed carry, background checks they do for DHS and other agencies and people, there could be a fee in there, which there are, and those could be raised if they had the inclination to do so without coming back to us. I don't want that to happen. So I think when Senate Bill 70 gets over here, we're going to have to look at what's in there. I've glanced at it already, but I don't recall what's really in there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Before you go, Representative, do we intend to move this bill today?
No, we don't. No.
Okay, then I'll just shut up. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sort of in the same vein as outdated or strange seeming rules. Anecdotally, I've heard kind of through the grapevine that since the OSP moved into its office in Grants Pass, they've paid DAS something like $2.2 million out of their operating budget, and that of course they could have bought the building 10 times over by that point. And so I'm sort of going in the opposite way. I'm wondering why OSP couldn't. Would OSP perhaps be a more efficient? Would that be a better way of doing it? I don't know if I'm putting the question out at your will here. I'm basically saying it makes no sense that OSP has to get milked year after year after year for a massive amount of money from another government agency when perhaps if they could just buy the building themselves and pay for it once and for all, it'd save a lot of tax dollars.
Co-chairs, Representative Hicks, most of the facilities that we enter into are actually owned by private landlords, and then we also are in several facilities that are owned by Department of Transportation or other entities that can own property. And so we have many different funding arrangements for specific facilities. The ones that are the DAS facilities that you're referencing tend to be the ones that were build-to-suit options, and that means that we worked with them, told them what their needs were, and that building was built for our purposes. They're not our typical offices. We can find office space within the local communities and make that work for our other needs generally. For the specialty facilities, usually we need to go out and design something that's going to meet the needs of a dispatch center or of a medical examiner office. Some of the arrangements that we have, we actually get extremely good deals on. We work with Department of Forestry, Department of Transportation, and to the point where they're low or no cost at times. And so it's hard to make sweeping generalizations about whether or not it would make sense for us to own all of our different facilities. This really is just us looking for those specialty facilities because of the project management fees that end up being duplicative. In the last two labs that we built, our estimate is that we probably paid $400,000 extra in project management fees to have those built, and we were the ones providing the on-site services ourselves. And so DAS has expertise. We recognize that, and we're happy to work with them on most types of buildings. These specialty ones are the ones that we're looking for some relief on.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ramona, I'm just kind of curious, with this bill here and what you have with the Dash 2s especially, and I know you referred to Senate Bill 70, what happens, and okay, let me back up just a moment. You mentioned in your testimony it was not your intent to move forward with developing any type of rules that would include fees into this measure. What happens if Senate Bill 70 fails over on the Senate side?
Co-chairs Representative Olson, there's also another bill, I believe it's Senate Bill 5538, that DAS submitted that gives specific fees for all of those different identification services. And so the Senate Bill 70 bill basically allows us to establish fees for identification services within administrative rule and keep those up, but Senate Bill 5538 specifies exactly what they would be, and so those really are the two options on the table that I'm aware of.
The House Bill 5538, just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Krieger, did you have another?
No.
Okay, and the other thing, I have just a little concern over who's going to be purchasing the real property. I have a lot of faith in the integrity of the Oregon State Police, but I can recall a few years back when somebody who was doing those, dealing with the private industry, was, he was convicted of a felony for the essentially theft, and I was pleased with the cooperation the Oregon State Police had with the authorities to get that thing stopped. And, I hope whoever superintendent when you start building really is careful in selecting the person who's dealing with the private industry and being sure that they don't think, say, everybody else is doing it, therefore,
I do have
so should I. So thank you.
Representative Krieger. You mentioned DAS. What were the fees that the department had to pay DAS for, the amount that you mentioned, and what was it for?
Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, And these are the last two laboratories that were built, and so they're larger facilities, again, that have special ventilation and all kinds of things. The project management fees for those two facilities added up to $400,000. I can get you the specifics on what they were if you'd like me to go back and get that. The other thing is that just in terms of the duplicative nature, on a monthly basis, those $400,000 were up front. We anticipate if we were able to own these specialty facilities ourselves, our monthly bills would go down between 5% and 6.5%.
This has come to light that DAS is filing charging these fees. The Little Community College we're having built in Brookings, I believe, is $50,000 to $60,000 for them on site, but we have a full-time paid engineer on site to see the same things being done. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to take a look at this duplicate thing. And what are they doing with that money? I think this is really an opportunity to say, hey, enough of this. DOS is getting their fingers into everything, and I'd like to get their fingers out of most everything.
And, Mr. Chair, I have great respect for state police, too. But as I said, the more responsibility we give away and more of our oversight we give away, I think the more problems we create. And I would like to know what they're doing with the money, too. And how did they get the ability to do that? How did we had this body somewhere along the past had to grant them the ability to do that? We need to see if they're doing it right and if they ain't, take it away from them.
It's probably an administrative rule.
Yeah, well, probably is.
Yeah, yes, I agree with Co-Chair Krieger. I mean, I'm just have to wonder when I hear about the kind of numbers. I mean, $2.2 million in 10 years that's been paid to DOS, and they still don't own the building. I mean, where's the money going, and when is it going to stop? Additionally, though, I do want to ask, I'm told that a new OSP's office is going to be built or constructed soon here in Grants Pass. sounds like this measure is not going to be implicative. It's not going to implicate that because the testimony was that this is not for any new construction for the next 2 to 4 years. Can you comment on what this facility is, how it's going to be arranged within the OSP building arrangement?
Co-chairs, Representative Hicks, I'm relying on my memory here, so I don't know if I'm getting the specifics correct, but I believe we're working with Douglas. Is it Douglas County or
Josephine?
We're working with partners at that point to look at what the different opportunities are. I don't think anything's imminent with that building, so I don't think that we have a particular plan or any agreements in place. We're just looking in that case to improve the facility itself and make sure it meets our needs. That, I believe, is more of the patrol office. Again, I didn't want anything I said here today to be critical of the DAS facility staff. We're happy to work with them on the buildings that are general purpose buildings. They do have some expertise and bring that to bear, but you know, when we are designing cooling systems for the computers for the dispatch centers or ventilation for the labs or the freezers for the medical examiners, that's program experience. And so this is not in any way an attempt for us to recreate facilities expertise within OSP. This is just hopefully a recognition that our program staff are the ones that understand best what equipment and facilities meet our business needs in these limited circumstances.
Mr. Chair, briefly, and I want to make sure that you know, my frustration is not with the state police or you. It's being in here several years and watching legislative direction being carried out questionably at times, and my own frustration with being part of that and allow it to happen. So I'll take my share of the responsibility for some of this. So I just want you to know I'm not frustrated with you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And I can get you some more information about what's going on in Grants Pass.
Right. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking a meeting over a simple bill.
Yeah, sorry about
that. Close the public hearing on 2077. On House Bill 2471 and House Bill 2679 and House Bill 2678, we do not have the fiscal back, so we won't be able to do those today. So we'll open a work session on House Bill 3151.
Chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3151 was previously heard on the 9th of March. It's the one that adds drug treatment programs and programs that support drug treatment to the list of allowable uses for forfeiture proceeds. It declares an emergency, is effective on passage. The value of treatment was the basic discussion for the chief of police in Portland came to testify. Currently, law strictly limits the use of assets that are forfeited in drug cases to enforcement education purposes, and this bill, as I said, allows funds to be used for treatment purposes as well. And there's no revenue, fiscal statement has issued, and there's no subsequent referral.
Yes, Representative.
I move that we.
House. Move House Bill 2671.
Thank you. House Bill 3151.
I'm sorry, you're right. 3151.
51. To the floor with the due pass recommendation.
President Tomei moves House Bill 3151 to the floor with the due pass. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Excused.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Wisman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Olson will be the carrier. I said carries. Motion passed. And I'd like to briefly reopen House Bill 2714 work session. Representative Wisnab, how do you vote?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I vote aye.
Representative Wisnab votes aye on House Bill 2714. Is that right? No. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Close the work session on 2714. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Adjourn.